Absolutely love that song. I only came across it a couple of weeks ago and I've not been able to stop listening to it since. I just love the theme and the idea that our God wants to be with us. And really, that idea runs through every one of the church's values, which is why I wanted to start this talk with that song. So I've been asked today to speak on the theme of delighting in the Bible. It's an interesting one because the first thing that I stopped to think about was, why do we delight in the Bible? Why should we be expected to? I mean, aren't we supposed to delight in God and to make God the desire of our hearts? How does that work with delighting in the Bible? And as I thought about this theme, I ultimately turned to Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and I'll read from the Berean Study Bible because they've got a very nice translation of it. But there, Jesus is teaching the crowds, and he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we tend to apply that verse, understandably, to human beings. In the context there, Jesus is correcting the Pharisees because they had this attitude that sin was almost an external force, that they were pure of heart, and that therefore they would avoid sin by do not handle, do not touch, do not look, do not do this, do not go there. Whereas Jesus turns around and says, no, your actions and particularly your words, they display the truth of what's going on in your heart. So the sin comes out of you, he was saying to them. But the principle there, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, it's actually a really powerful one. Because I think that that's one similarity between us and God, one way that we are made in the image of God. Because what we do, and particularly what we say, they reveal our hearts, they reveal what's going on inside us. In the same way, God's word reveals his heart, it reveals his identity, his nature, his will, his character, his promise. So when we focus on his words, we meet with God through them. That's why we delight in the Bible, because we delight in God, specifically. Specifically because we delight in the God who speaks, the God who communicates through his word. Now that means that reading the Bible isn't just a matter of saying, yeah, I like reading. Here's a textbook that I'm going to be flipping through the pages of. But when we turn to the Bible, it's a relational activity. It's more than any other book because it's a book through which God is speaking to us. Now, how do we hear God through the Bible? There are lots of different ways to study the Bible. If there's too many to go through here. So a book recommendation, if you want to look into it, Rick Warren has an excellent book called Bible Study Methods that goes through different ones. What I'm going to touch on, though, are a couple of points about the heart attitude through which we need to go to the Bible. First, we need to go to the Bible prayerfully. One of my favorite verses is in Psalm 119, verse 18, in which the psalmist says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things written in your law. Now, I love that prayer because it gets to the heart of how we read the Bible. We can only hear God speak through the Bible when we open our hearts to the Spirit to speak through the pages of Scripture. Otherwise, if we don't approach the Bible prayerfully, then it's what Greg Boyd calls in the Animate course, dead ink, just letters on a page. Because it's through our sensitivity to the Spirit that our lives are transformed, that the Word of God is applied to our hearts and to our lives. That's why, incidentally, the values are in the order they're in. The first value was intimacy with God in prayer. That then leads us to the second value, delighting in the Bible. That relationship with God is what brings the scriptures alive. The second thing I wanted to pull out, though, is that we have to come to the Bible in humility. Adie was absolutely right with the verses she pulled out today, including that beautiful one from Isaiah, that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that his ways are higher than our ways. All too often, we put God in a box. We think we've got him sussed. We think we've figured him out. and we forget that he is infinitely greater than we are. However long you've known God, there is more to him than you know. However well you know God, there is more to him than you know. We think we've got him figured out, but it's like we're there dipping our toes at the side of a beach when there's an entire ocean to dive into, a Mariana Trench depth to get to. That's how little our knowledge of God is in comparison to the greatness, the splendor, the beauty, the infinite depth of his love. There is so much more to know. And so we need to come to the Bible in humility, asking God to reveal himself in a way we have never known before, setting aside our prior ideas of what he is like in order to meet with the true God as he truly is. The reality is that our best idea of God is nothing compared to the reality. But the catch is that so often in our hearts, because we think we've got God figured out, we've essentially got an idol in our hearts that we think is the true God. An idol that God wants to break down with the reality of who he is. And one of my favorite quotes is from Miroslav Volf in a book called Free of Charge. I've quoted it about 5 or 6 times in the devotionals. To worship God rather than the idols of our own making, we must allow God to break apart the idols we create through the Spirit's relentless and intimate work in our lives. When we turn to the Bible, the Spirit reveals God as he truly is. And sometimes that is uncomfortable. Sometimes that is challenging. Sometimes it doesn't match with how we think we've got him sussed. But that's fine. We come to God in humility, asking him to reveal himself through the Bible, through the Word, as he really is, not as we imagine him to be. It's that relationship with the true God that we want. And here's the thing. However good you think your image of God is, however much you've worked on it and you think you've got it done, God is better. That's the beauty of it. He is infinitely better than anything you have ever thought of or imagined. Infinitely. So as you come to God prayerfully, opening the pages of Scripture, allowing the Spirit to reveal the true God as he truly is, you're in for an experience of God that is greater than any you've had before as you meet with the true God. So the challenge really is to look at the Scriptures and to say, right, I want to meet you through them, God. I delight in these Scriptures. I delight in the Bible precisely because I delight in you. Nothing else will satisfy me. Accept no substitutes. When you do an Amazon delivery and they put together saying, will you accept a substitute for this item? No, there's no substitute for God. There's no substitute for the true God. You need that true God in your life. Sorry, can you tell we've just had an Amazon delivery? But I do want to pull together one last point, which is something I've been thinking about quite a bit. I wasn't actually planning to say this in the talk, but oh well, I'm going off on a tangent. One thing that I've been thinking about quite a bit is the idea of the incarnation that we read of Jesus as the Word made flesh. And the thing that's been striking me as I thought about this is that God still wants his Word to be enfleshed today. He wants his Word, the Bible, to be incarnate, to be enfleshed in our lives so that we live it out, so that when people look at us, they see Jesus, they see God working and speaking and acting through us. He is the image of the invisible God, we read of Jesus. But now our destiny is to be conformed to his likeness, to be like him, to represent him on earth, to incarnate him on earth. And that thought is just something I've been meditating on over the last few weeks, really. It came up in a book, just a throwaway comment that I've sat there thinking that is such a powerful idea, because it means that when I turn to the Bible, I'm not just wanting these to be words on a page that maybe I meet with God and I walk away thinking that was good. But I want those words, I want the words on that in the Bible to be incarnate in my life, to be enfleshed in my life, so that people look at me and they see the God who speaks through me. And I believe that is something for every one of us as well, that our destiny as individual believers, for each one of us, is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, to embody him in this world. And we'll do that as we allow the word to transform us, to shape us, to work in our hearts. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer, if that's okay. Lord God, I thank you that you desire us. You desire relationship with us. And right now, God, I pray that we will open our hearts to your word, that we will choose to come to you in humility, and we will prayerfully commit to getting to know you more through the Bible. Reveal yourself to us. Let your word be enfleshed within us, within our lives, so that we change this world. In Jesus' name, amen.